righty. I got one sentence here. Traffic in Seattle 2018. Fewer cars, bicyclists, and walkers. More transit riders and carpools. Fewer cars, so fewer people driving. Fewer people riding bikes, although we're spending millions and millions and millions and millions and not finished, and millions of dollars on bike lanes. And fewer walkers as well. But there's more people getting on transit and carpooling. There you go.
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixed bag. This is the City Transportation Department's annual report, and there's some interesting things about it. It is pretty significant that even though we have 9,000 more people in the city than we did a year ago, that the number of cars have actually decreased by almost 2%. So that is some progress. It's not enough progress, as everyone says, but that is some progress in terms of kind of relieving congestion. And I think the other good, the positives out of this is that, yeah, transit ridership is up to 25% of all commutes, which means a quarter of us are commuting by transit. I don't know what the original percent was, but we have 7 million more people getting on King County Metro and 4 million on Sound Transit.
More?
And carpooling.
More
boardings.
Yes, more boardings. Okay.
Yes, more boardings. And then carpooling is up. So that's the good stuff. The thing is, if we have fewer people walking and fewer people riding bikes, that is not what the city envisioned. Mm-hmm. And as a result, John, I know you don't think that Seattle city government is very responsive.
It isn't.
But because the Department of Transportation says they are scaling back the 50 miles of protected bike lanes and 60 miles of bike infrastructure to about half of those miles because it's not catching on. So there has been some response along
those
lines.
Well, they do that all the time. They make a promise that they're going to have six stops and six trains, and then they reduce it down to four, or they make a promise that thing is going to be delivered on time or delivered to an area, and then they cut it back.
Well,
here's my question, Tom. Let's just to point out the pure inefficiency of government. So we ordered four trains, and we find out the trains are too big or too small to fit on the tracks. Who got fired? Because in a business world, if you had put the order in and you had spent the money and the purchase had gone through and the money had cleared and then we find out the trains are too big, in the business world where you are driven by the bottom line of profitability, you would lose your job. And the chance of you getting another job would be slim to none. So it's like a cancer. The great thing about the private sector is it takes a metastasized cancer. And in most cases, because that organism needs to run on profit fuel, it takes the cancer of the incompetent and removes it so that the rest of the business can work effectively. Unlike government, when you order four trains that don't fit, or you decide you're going to be able to spend billions of dollars on something and then never deliver on time or never deliver on budget, you don't lose your job. So that cancer, the metastasized, incompetent individual, continues to cause problems in the system. And that's why the public transportation system and the money that they spend on bike lanes is wasted. I talk to a guy who rides his bike in every day. You know what? He doesn't ride the bike lanes. You know why, Tom?
Because they're not done.
Nope.
There's no connectivity.
You want to hear from a guy that rides bike lanes?
Bike lane projects.
Nope. You want to hear why?
I hear from this guy, sure.
Yeah, here we go. Because he doesn't like to have to stop. So he rides in the car lane because he says, if I do bike lane, I have to keep stopping at all of these stops. I got to sit there and wait for the cars to go left. So I just get right in there and I ride just like I normally ride, which is right beside the car, right behind the right bumper. And that's what I do. He says, those bike lanes, you are constantly stopping and waiting and getting hit by the light. He says, I just roll right along with everybody else. So they put the things in, right? And it's for safety and things like that. But you're not improving it because it's too wet, too cold, too hilly, and you'll never change that. But we spend billions of dollars because the bike Nazis that run part of Seattle City Council continually slam away, and they don't like you in your car, and they'd rather have you in a bike, even though less and less people. So here's the thing. I realize they're cutting down on the expansion of the bike thing. Will they stop the road diet crap and allow more cars to be on the road to move through Nickerson and other places like that? Or do we continue to squeeze down the lanes? And then what do you know? People get out of their cars because it's less efficient, and we then have an empty lane with no bikes in it. Okay, I'm done.
Well, John, I mean, this road diet business, it's anticipating the fact that we're going to have hundreds of thousands of more people in town. We can't all be in our cars, and because of that, we need to figure out ways to get people around without their cars.
But how by squeezing down the number of lanes, how does that improve efficiency?
Well, the idea is because it's going to force us to develop transit availability so that all the people that do work downtown, say, can get around without their cars.
Oh, okay.
Well, so you're going to need the lanes for light rail or for more buses and the like. And the idea is that in order to get that many people around, nobody in New York City, you've got all sorts of, you have the subway system. Imagine all those people in the subway system in cars. It would be unmanageable. That's what they're anticipating.
So they closed Nickerson down, and the Federal Transportation Association says you need to be able to move. If you can move 20,000 cars at a certain period of time, it's okay to have a road diet, so you can squeeze it down at 20,000. But what happens is whenever you build anything when it comes to public transportation, you're always 5, 10, 15, 20 years out looking at growth. Well, they say within a number of years, we're going to have 23,000 people on that road diet on Nickerson, and at that point, it's inefficient. But they don't care, because what they really want you to do is make it as inconvenient as possible for you to be in your car. Why don't they put metal strips, spike strips down every quarter mile so it flattens your tires? It would be more of an incentive to get out of your car, because every time you drive a quarter of a mile, your car tires get flattened. That would force more people onto the buses. This is just a slow death of the person in the car, because they'd rather have you driving in a riding in a bus or riding on a bicycle. It is obvious what they're doing, John, and I guess they pride themselves on the fact that more people are carpooling. Yeah, because it's absolutely impossible to get around the city.
But the problem is it's not. 51% of the commuters to the city, you know, still drive their cars alone.
Right.
So
right.
Clearly,
why?
We're not making it impossible for people. You've got most of the people on the road are driving, and they are driving alone.
But they're driving
alone.
It's longer commute to get out of here. But here's this. Just give me this. If no one's using the lane, if we decide, you know what, it was a mistake to put the bike lane in, it's a waste of space, it's a waste of money, you have to get down to the metrics. What do you want to spend, and then how much do you want people to benefit from it? Like, do we spend X amount of dollars to move X amount of people? Is that a good use of the taxpayers' money?
Yes. And because they're making adjustments, I suspect they may feel like the bike infrastructure is more expensive or too expensive to justify the cost. However, and I'm not a bicyclist, I think it's too dangerous to ride a bike in Seattle. I don't care how many bike lanes they have now. It's still too dangerous. The bike advocates say, and they're cited in the Seattle Times article as well, say that the reason we don't have more bicyclists is because we do not have any kind of finished lanes. What good is it to drive down a protected bike lane for five blocks and then you have nothing? And then maybe a mile later, you pick up another mile's worth. If we had an entire system, it would work much more efficiently. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's safer. The more cyclists in the road, the safer the bicycling is. That we're starting to see some numbers dip in terms of fatalities and serious injuries. And if we could encourage more of that, it might happen. That's definitely the case in Europe. And I know we're not Europe, but we're transitioning there.
That's what they want. That's why they like trains rather than buses. You're a big believer. You like that train that takes people from Seattle to the airport?
Yes, that's efficient and fantastic. I've taken it many number of times.
It's slower than buses, and it drops you off a quarter of a mile away from the terminal where the bus used to drop you off right at the thing. They predicted 105,000 people would take the thing daily. 29,000 people take it. It costs more. It's less efficient. It's not as fast, and it's further from the terminal than the bus. But because we like Europe and we think trains are sexier than buses because we love Europe, we love to have little trains.
It's certainly faster, John. And because it's not in traffic, it just zips you to the airport.
Uh-huh.
It's faster and it's more comfortable than I don't know what you're comparing it to being, you know, riding a bus there. It's so much easier to get on that thing, and then it goes right by. I mean, it's really great what it is. Now, the problem is you have to get downtown first. For instance, when I do that, mm-hmm. I have to take my luggage on the bus with me to get downtown. But once I get to the light rail link, you just zip to the airport. So it's definitely
faster. And then you walk the quarter mile. Then you walk the quarter mile to the terminal.
You know what they say, the quarter mile, it's all covered. You know, we walk quarter miles in airports all the time to get from one gate to another. Quarter mile is not that far. It's all covered.
Right.
So it makes it sound like you're a quarter mile out on the highway, you know, dragging your, that's not true. It just feels like you're just part of the airport. Right. You walk into the airport and you end up walking, probably a quarter of a mile.
Right. Where the bus used to drop you off right there, didn't it?
Well, sort of. The bus went past the idea. So, yeah, you don't. But a quarter of a mile compared to once you're inside the airport, it just feels like you're going to the airport. It doesn't feel that that long. And depending on where your gate was compared to where the bus stop was, it's not that much different.